You're listening to SBS News.
Karan Chatta is a Melbourne man thinking about the future.
I have a family now, a growing family, and I consider that, you know, things are quite settled down. So I feel like I need to start thinking about what the future holds and, you know, what I'm going to do for my retirement, and hence what I want to do for my kids. And hence I want to, you know, need some assistance to see how I can secure the future for myself and my for the next generation.
He migrated to Australia from India 16 years ago and now is keen to seek financial advice.
I guess I'll start with, income protection, I think, is a big thing. Not that, you know, I am very confident in what I do, but I still feel with the economy the way it is very unsure, global and Australian. So income protection is one, and then making sure, I grow my superannuation and my wife's superannuation with tax-effective strategies. So I'm just planning for that, and also have a good portfolio of investments. So give my kids a good head start and secure their future.
The language used in financial advice can often be difficult to understand for anyone, let alone those for whom English isn't their first language. A University of Newcastle report found one-third of all Australians are financially illiterate, meaning they lack the ability to understand and use various financial skills, including personal financial management, budgeting and investing. AIMS Australia provides English training, employment services, community engagement and settlement support to migrants, refugees and asylum seekers. Here's its CEO, Kath Scarth.
I suppose the financial system in Australia is an incredibly complex one. If you think about the range of products, whether it's superannuation, mortgage, a personal loan, store loans, hire purchase, payday lending, you know, it's an incredibly complex financial system that we have to navigate. And so add to that not just language barriers, but people's experience before they arrive here being very, very different.
The Quality of Advice Review is considering changes to the regulatory framework applying to financial advice in a bid to better ensure Australians have access to high quality and affordable financial advice. Assistant Treasurer Stephen Jones.
But it's never been harder for people to get decent financial advice. We're reviewing the regulations around financial advice. The objective, to ensure people can get quality advice as and when they need it at an affordable price. Really important that we get submissions from the public on how best to achieve that.
In a submission, Advisor Ratings is calling for tax deductibility for all financial advice of up to $3,000. Take, for example, seeking advice on tax and super. Did you know you can claim a tax deduction on expenses charged for investment advice? But financial advice related to superannuation is not an eligible tax deduction for your assessable income outside of your superannuation. Chair of the review, Michelle Levy, is pushing for an overhaul of the definitions of advice across the whole sector.
I've gone into these, into this review wanting to assist consumers to get access to financial advice. I haven't done that with a view to them getting poorer financial advice. It's very much about getting more financial advice. And when I think about what is it that we want financial advice to be, we want it to be good advice at its most simple, good advice. And so my proposal is not at all intended to weaken existing consumer protections, but rather to focus the attention of the provider of advice on what it is that the consumer wants.
Ms. Levy is pushing for a financial advice provider to act not only in the best interest of the client, but she is proposing a law that says the provider of advice has to give their client higher quality advice in substance. The 2017 Banking Royal Commission prompted the review. Draft consultation makes 12 proposals to improve advice on budgeting, investing, superannuation, retirement planning or estate planning, insurance and taxation, just to name a few. But not everyone is on board with the proposed changes. Here's Choice CEO Alan Kirkland.
Essentially what they're saying is get rid of some of the most important consumer protections that have been introduced in response to all of the scandals we've seen in the past. If they're telling you something is good, you need to be able to trust that advice. Unfortunately, what this review will do if the government adopts its recommendations is undermine the quality of that advice. This review, if it's adopted, will actually mean there's lots more cross-selling in financial services. So in practice, what that means is you might go to talk to your bank for a general financial health check, and they might then say, oh, how about you sign up to this insurance product as well? How about you move your super to the super fund that we're linked to?
Karan says trust and confidence in the system is paramount.
Trust will only come when, you know, there's consistent approach in how everybody is dealt with in financial advice. And that comes again to, you know, you have your governing body and you have your ethics set every time you deal with a new individual and giving financial advice.
Public submissions for the advice review close on September 23, and the review's final report is due in the middle of December. Marcus Megalokonomos, SBS News.